We've been following the arc of Yosef and the brothers for close to a month now. We saw this, been talking over the last couple of weeks about different elements of what we're meant to learn from this unusually long extended story by the standards of Chumash. Early on, we saw you can begin to explore Hashgacha Pratis and notice Hashgacha Pratis a little bit more when you have the perspective and the hindsight of a couple of decades. They saw that there was an opportunity in the arc of the story of Yosef and the brothers to notice Yosef's remarkable Hatzlacha, to study Yosef's unusual Midos, to think about Yosef's plan and Yosef's fealty to the dreams which he saw, according to Ramban, as Nevuah. The last of the 4 weeks of the story of Yosef and the brothers want to explore the opening Ramban in Parshas Vayechi, which is a little more global. B'chol, this whole discussion is global. Every once in a while, he'll open a Parsha in the Torah, whether it's a Sedra or not, he'll open a chunk, a topic in Chumash, sort of like an introductory overview. That's what we're going to see right here. And in overviewing, he's going to... We saw so many different angles on the arc of Yosef and the brothers, but we're going to zoom out now to the largest of all. And that is to think not only about Yosef and his brothers over the course of months and years and decades, but to think about Yosef and the brothers as they tell us something about Jewish history over the centuries. Because a yesod we had seen the Ramban a couple months ago, when we transitioned into the bulk of Brachos, which is dedicated to the Avos. You saw already in Parshas Lech Lecha, he said, an incredibly important tool is going to be Maisa Avosim Elabanim, is reading, understanding, we're supposed to read and learn Brachos, both as a story of what actually happened in the lives of the Avos, as well as Nevuos about what's going to happen in the future at large. So that's where we're going to close our exploring Yosef and the brothers through the eyes of Ramban by zooming out all the way to see Yosef and the brothers, not only as leading to Galus Mitzrayim, but even leading to indicating something even larger. And in this opening on Ramban Parshas Vayechi, Perek Mem Zayin Pasuk Chav Ches, we're also going to perhaps see a tip of the hat, a remez to Chanukah, and an important yisod about Teves, and specifically Asar B'Teves. So let's take a look. Vechi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim Shva Asrei Shana. Here we pick up in the beginning of Vayechi, after a break of a number of years, Yaakov Avinu, the Torah, in this opening pasuk, sort of skims over 17 years of Mitzrayim pretty quickly. And we had seen the end of Vayigash, Yosef at work. We saw what the Rabban had to say by that last week, Yosef at work. So you see the first couple of years, perhaps, of the presence of Yaakov and his brothers in Mitzrayim. And then you don't really hear much. Vayechi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim, Shiva Esrei Shana. Then we move to the final days, perhaps, of Yaakov's life and beyond. Says the Ramban, Kvar Hizkarti. Says, I already told you earlier, in Parshas Miketz, he tells, Rav Shavel points on the bottom, Ki Redes Yaakov L'Mitzrayim, Shehu Galusenu Hayom Yadachaya Revius, Hi Romi. That's a big mouthful. He says, I already indicated to you earlier, and we're going to pick up with this consistently now, that the going down to Mitzrayim is a Maisa Avasim Labanim to the last Galus, the Galus, the destruction of the second base on Mikdash, and the Roman Galus that followed. As you remember that he had told the Rabban, told us much earlier when Avram Avinu goes down to Mitzrayim, early in Sefer Bereishis, that was already Maisa Avasim Labanim, that was a remez to Galus Mitzrayim. And then the story of Jewish history has continued. So now we're up to the end of Sefer Bereishis. And now what had been Merumas is now itself Merames to others. Avraham Avinu's Galus down to Mitzrayim briefly had been a remez to the Jews' Galus Mitzrayim here, Yaakov and the sons. They said it was different features that were comparable. And now, so Yaakov going down and staying in Galus is interesting. It's on both ends. It's the beginning of the Simin Labanim, and it's the end of the Maisa Avos. It's the subject that was being described and alluded to when Avraham went down to Mitzrayim, but now itself was also gracious. So it itself also is rabbis to something in the future. And if we're going in order, this is the last Golos in Sefer Bereishis, obviously. So it's Merames to the last Golos in Jewish history. Galuseinu Hayom, the Golos that we are in, tragically, Ramban said that around 800 years ago, the Golos that he was in now, and we're saying the same thing. We're seeing the wheels of Geula turning slowly, but we are certainly still in Golos. B'yad Achaya HaRevi'a, see Yeromi, what does that mean? The fourth creature? This is a tip to Sefer Daniel. The first half of Sefer Daniel, 12 Prakim of Sefer Daniel, the first half of Sefer Daniel are the famous stories, the writing on the wall, and the bowing down to the Tzelem, and Hanan, Mishael, V'Azariah being saved from the Kivush HaNa'esh, and Daniel being saved from the pit of lions. The famous stories, that's the first half of Daniel. Second half of Daniel are Daniel's visions. There's loads of Nevuahs, very, very vivid, a lot to do with Jewish history to come. In one of them, he has an image, as a vision of four creatures. And the four creatures correspond to the four Golios of Jewish history. Starting with Golos Bavel and ending with Golos Romi, the fourth creature is the most frightening, the most confusing, the most intimidating. And it's the long, it corresponds to the Golos that we are still in, almost 2,000 years after it began. But why? What does Yaakov and the sons going down to Mitzrayim, what does that have to do with Golos Romi, other than the fact that it happens to come last? No, it says there's much more than that. B'nei Yaakov heim atzim sibbu riditam sham b'mechiras Yosef achem. Let's start. Number one is that the B'nei, who got the B'nei Yaakov into Golos? They did. They sold Yosef. And that started the whole process rolling. And now Yosef is down. And now slowly they're all going to follow him. Yaakov Yarad Shama Pnei Harav. Ramban is giving us the overview. Let's pull out some key points of Golos Bnei Yaakov LeMitzrayim. We caused it ourselves with the Mechiras Yosef. Number two, Yaakov goes down because of Ra'av, because of hunger. V'chashav lehinatzelim b'no b'beis ohevlo. He thought that he would be spared because he'll be with his son in the home, in the country, of a man who loved his son. Ki paro ohevis Yosef kibinlo. Paro had a certain paternal feeling towards Yosef. So Yaakov figured, I'll go down to Mitzrayim. Yosef is well connected. Yosef protects you. Yosef has almost a filial, a father-son relationship with Paro. So we'll be good. So that was the number one, we caused ourselves. Number two, we thought we're going to go down there. We have print connections. We'll be safe. Number three, hayusfurim laos misham kechalos harav. There, it's Kenan, Kemosha Amru. Number three, how long did we thought we were going to be there? How long did we think we were going to be there? 3. Couple of years, the Rav will be over, go back. How do you know? Because that's what it says in the Chumash. Labur ba'aretz banu, ki ein mirah l'tor shalav adaka. Ki chaver harav, eretz Kenan. A pasuk that perhaps is familiar, not from the Chumash, the pasuk in the Haggadah. And why do we mention that pasuk? And they said in the last week's parasha, we didn't come here to move permanently, we're just here temporarily because of the famine. Why do we mention that? Why does the Medrash mention that pasuk in the Haggadah? That's a proof. Bagur Baruch Banu, Melame, that's the proof that Shalyar Yaakov Ilish Takea, that we didn't go down. Ayerid Mitzrayimah. We went down briefly. The plan was, it's going to be quick. We'll go down for a couple of years, and as soon as the problem passes, as long as crisis passes, and food and water return to Eretz Canaan, we're going back. So that's Golos Mitzrayim, the beginning of Golos Mitzrayim, the safer, voracious part of Golos Mitzrayim, in a nutshell. But the Rabban says, V'hinei lo alu. But we actually did not come back so quickly. We did not come back, Yaakov Avinu, 17 years later, they come back briefly to bury Yaakov. Yaakov never returns alive, and the rest of Bnei Yisrael have to go back down. And even Yaakov didn't go back a couple years later, it was 17 years later, and after he had passed away. Lo olu, arach alav agalz. The Golos was much longer than they anticipated. Umeisham, Yaakov died in Golos. He's the only one of the Avos who died in Golos. Although that's most of, but his bones came back. V'ziknei paro v'sarav ha'eluhu. Now, when he was brought back to burial, it was with royal pomp and ceremony. Many of Paro's chashuvim went along. Va'asu imo evil kaved. As the psukim tell us later in Parshas Vayechi, there was a deep avelos. You notice he stopped in the middle of the story of Galus Mitzrayim because there's a lot more to Galus Mitzrayim, but that's also Sefer Shmos. The end of the story of Galus Mitzrayim and Sefer Bereishis is the burial of Yaakov and the death of Yosef. That's it. Sefer Shmos is going to continue the historical story of Galus Mitzrayim, but that's no longer Maisa of a similar Banim territory. I think that's what the Ramban is assuming. So the part of Galus Mitzrayim that is not only a Galus but a remnant to the future is the part of the story that Kadosh Baruch Hu chose to put into Sefer Bereishis. That's why Sefer Bereishis ends in the middle of Galus Mitzrayim. This is the part that's relevant on a Maisa of a similar Banim level, which, as the Ramban told us, is one of the main hallmarks, one of the main themes of the whole Sefer Bereishis. And now watch what Ramban's going to do. Now that he gave us a summary of the Sefer Bereishis part of Galus Mitzrayim, the going down, we caused it ourselves, and Yaakov thought that he'll be safe because Yosef has this close, almost son-like relationship with Paro, and they thought it would be brief, but it wasn't brief, and they stayed. But ultimately, Yaakov's bones come back, and Paro's chevra give him great kavod, and there's an Avel kavod, as you hear about later in Parshas Vayechi. Says Rabban, take all of that, fast forward. All of that is a Maisa Avos, which is a Simen Labanim to the following. V'chein Anachna, here we are, around seven, eight lines down, right before the number six. V'chein Anachnu Imromi Ve'edom Achenu. So are we with Rome and its continuation. Christian Europe was a continuation in many ways of Rome, Edom. Romi ve'edom achenu, our brothers, so to speak, hesibunu bi'aseinu bi'adam. We caused it. We walked in to the spider web. Kikarsu brisim haromium. The Jews made a treaty with the Romans. See, number six, he sent you down to Gemara Avodah Zarah. Which Jews made a treaty with the Romans? So this is the sad aftermath of Hanukkah. We are around a week after Hanukkah. So Hanukkah is a celebration of Matisyahu and his sons, Yehuda and Shimon and so on and so forth. That first generation were incredible tzaddikim. They were zoched to extraordinary, miraculous yata d'shmaya from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they were fighting the good fight for the best of reasons. They wanted Kalal Yisrael to be physically safe and to be spiritually safe and free to practice Torah mitzvahs. Unfortunately, over the next couple of generations, the history books tell us that power corrupted. And later, ironically, within a couple of generations, the Hashmonai dynasty was riddled with Misyavnim. There were grandchildren of the Hashmonaim who carried Greek names because they wanted once again to be Misyavim. And it got so bad that there was, Gemara tells us, at one point, a fight between brothers, Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. Neither one is a particularly Jewish name. These are descendants of Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Hashmonai ben Av. Hyrcanus and Aristobulus are in a pitched battle over who is in charge. Mamish, sinas achim of the worst type. And one is inside Yerushalayim and one is outside. And trying to break through, trying to breach to capture his brother and take control, wrest control from his brother. And he's not having a lot of success in breaching. So he, back and forth, the brother into the brother outside, the Romans are invited in to help with the military effort. The descendants of the Hashmonaim, who are fighting over which of the two Misyavni brothers ought to be in charge, invite the Romans in and seek their help. They were looking for some military venture capital. You'll come in with us and you'll give us your superior firepower and we'll make a treaty. We invited the Romans in, Rachman Litzlan. And then later on, a couple of generations later, Agrippas HaMelech HaAcharon LeBayishen, the last of the Jewish kings of the second base of Mikdash period, Agrippas, Baruch HaLeim LeEzra, he once again ran to them for help. So the galus began. Rome was invited by us. We brought Rome in. And you'll notice, he doesn't highlight this, not only did we bring Rome in, but it was also because of Sinas Achim, much as with Yosef's story. And then we said, Yaakov heads down. What the next driver of the galus in Bracious was Rav. And as you know from Mitzvah, you haven't seen it yet this year, you will. And the fifth, as you move deeper and deeper into conquering Masechus Gittin, and maybe you've already learned these Gemaras over the course of a Tisha B'Av or two, it was a famine that there was the Romans had laid siege before the Churban Bayis Sheni, and the ultimate driver was famine. Remember that the Gemara speaks of the three incredibly wealthy Jews who had stores in the city that could have kept them for over two decades. They could have lasted long enough that the Romans would have, you know, gotten bored and moved away. But they were Baryonim, once again, Sinas Achim, Sinas Chinam. They were Baryonim who wanted war and burnt the stores of food and other supplies to force people into famine that would cause, ultimately, the war and the breach and the Churban. The Jews of Yerushalayim were captured because of Rav. And point three from Yaakov and his sons, they thought it would be very short. It was not. Hagalus arach aleinu ma'od. This galus has been incredibly long. Lo noda kitzu kashar hagalus. Unlike the other galios, Yirmiyahu had been sent benevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell the Jews, you're going to come back after 70 years. Galus Bava will last for 70 years, and you're going to have the right to come back, and you'll build a second base on Mikdash. So that Gemara Megillah says some debate about exactly, you know, there was a lack of clarity exactly when you count the 70 years, but they knew. 70 years when you come back, for Kachava. But this Galus, we have no idea. Tana Rebbe Akiva, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Tana Rebbe Akiva thought that Yirmiyahu's Nevu applied to the Churban Bayis Sheni as well. Tana Rebbe Akiva thought 70 years and we'll come back, and that's why Rebbe Akiva supported who? Which contender for the crown of Mashiach to receive a support? Bar Kochba, because in slightly less, around 60 or so years after the Churban Bayis Sheni, there was a massive revolt led by this Jewish revolt in Eretz Yisrael against the Romans, led by this figure Bar Kochba, who managed to begin to establish a state. And he was moving towards establishing a government. He was moving towards, he had an army. We even have coins that he struck, and it looked like he was going to. And Rabbi Akiva held that he was Mashiach. Rabbi Akiva's opinion was, other Tanaim disagreed. The Rambam says, Ramei Tanaim, who did agree with Rabbi Akiva, the big machlokas, did that Nevuah of Yirmiyahu, Ot Shivim Shana Efkod, was that only a one-time Nevuah or a two-time Nevuah? Only for Galus Babel, even for Galus Edom. And Rabbi Akiva said, 70 years. It's almost time. So this, he looks like he's Mashiach. The other Tanaim, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Accords, the other Tanaim say to him, No. We have a tradition of Mashiach not coming before the year 4000, so you have another 100 years or so. Yalla savim bilachayecha, the Gemara says, they told him. There'll be grass growing out of your jaws. Adayim ben dar v'loba. You'll have passed away, you'll be pushing daisies. You'll be dead and buried long before Mashiach comes. That was their tradition. Mashiach was not going to come before the year 4000, which in the Christian calendar is the year 240, which was around 100 years after the Bar Kochba revolt. And in retrospect, apparently, the other Chacham were correct. Nevuah Yirmiyahu was only about Galus Bavel. We don't know. We know there is an end point to this Galus. Be'ita Achishana, Yishayahu Perek Samach. But we don't know when.
What happened to the year 4000?
Huh?
What happened to the year?
The year 4000 was the earliest time.
The earliest time.
So that's to say, he was not going to come, but that was a tradition that they had, the Gemara records in Masechet Avodah Zarah. So that's what the Rabban says. Galus Edom has been very long, and we don't know, not incredibly long, and we don't know how long. And now he comes to the end. The end of the story in Bracious is negative. The Rabban points out, but the Remez is positive. Interesting turnaround. The end of the story is the death of Yaakov and his burial. That's us. We feel like we've died as a nation. And we feel like we're dried up, desiccated bones. That's the way Yechezkel describes. That's the whole Nevuah of the Shabbos Chol Moed Haftarah, of the Astamas Yevashos. The Jewish people feel in Galus like we're just Not only are we dead, we're dried out bones. Now there's nothing left. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows Yechezkel an incredible nevuah of the bones reforming into skeletons and then standing and being covered with flesh and organs and becoming alive again. And he says to Yechezkel, tell the Jewish people, you feel like your dried out bones is nothing left, you should know there will be a national techiyah. So Rabban says, we feel like Yaakov. But what's the end of the Yaakov story in Bereishis? But ultimately, all the nations will gather around to give respect. And there's going to be the Avel Kaveh. They're going to be in deep Avelos Bir Osam Kivodenu. When they see our ultimate Kaveh, and we will ultimately see HaKadosh Baruch Hu right all the wrongs and settle all the scores. He says, we hope to, Mirtz Hashem, see this very soon. The full Tchiyah of Klal Yisrael and the end of the Zgalos and the building of the Bayis HaShlishi. On its own, it's a powerful Ramban. On its own, it's coming full circle and showing us that the Maisav Simulbam takes us all the way through. And it's a whole new perspective on, as I said before, the arc of the Yosef and his brother's story. So we already saw so many different angles that were like focused over on them or on the gulfs and signs they caused. But this is sort of like the biggest picture of all is this speaks to a couple thousand, the 2,000 years close of gulfs. And there was a remez to Hanukkah, the sorry aftermath of Hanukkah, of the later Chashmonaim who were no longer tzaddikim and who like the brothers with Yosef, caused, began the process that led to Gaulus. And there's one more angle, which is to touch back on a question that Rabbi Shulman raised this morning, which is, what exactly is today about? Asar B'Teves, really strange. Navi Zechariah, we saw this, I think, on Tzom Gedalia. Gemara Rashan Daf Yiches, quotes of Navi Zechariah. There are four Tzomos of Churban. Tzom Arvi, Tzom HaChamishi, Tzom HaShvi, Tzom HaAsiri, the fast of the fourth month is Tammuz. Tzom HaChamishi, the fifth month is Av. Tzom HaShvi, the seventh month is Tishrei, and Tzom HaAsiri, the tenth month is Teves. Okay, so you have those four Tanyos, Shivas B'Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, Tzom Gedalia, Asar B'Teves. You know, a couple of months ago, 3 months ago, a little more than 3 months ago, on Tzom Gedalia, we were wondering, Tzom Gedalia doesn't seem like it was terrible. It was a tragedy, but why does that rise to the level of a Shivas Ratamas, a Tisha B'Av? And now we wonder even more about Asar B'Teves. I mean, the Mishnah at the end of time is talking about five terrible things that happened in Shivas Ratamas. Five terrible things that Tanam already counted that happened at Tisha B'Av, and by now they have many more. And we spent some time a couple of months ago exploring Tzom Gedalia. It wasn't just the event of the death of Gedalia per se, but it was, as the Rambam puts it, it was the Gemar HaChurban. The last chance for a Jewish community was gone. And Asar B'Teves, though, really got to wonder. What happened to Asar B'Teves? What happened to Asar B'Teves? So Asar B'Teves, as the he said in the Slichas this morning, Asar B'Teves, if you look through Malachim, Yirmiyah, Yechezkel, Asar B'Teves is associated with before the Churban and after the Churban. Asar B'Teves is the day that the Bavli army lays siege to Yerushalayim. I believe it was 2.5 years before they finally breached on Shivas B'Tammuz and destroyed, or breached on Tes Tammuz and destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Yud Zayin Tammuz is a reference to the second Beis HaMikdash. 2.5 years before. 2.5 years before. 2.5 years before. What happened? And it's also the day that the word of the Churban reached Bavel. You remember from your Megillas Esther, from nowhere else, that there were many Jews who had gone into Golus around a decade before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Im HaGolah, Megillah says, Mordechai shows up when? He shows up in Bavel and Paras with the Golos Yechaniah. Who was Yechaniah? Yechaniah was the second to last Jewish king of the first Beis HaMikdash. At that point, post Yoshiyahu, all the kings, Yoshiyahu was the last free king of the Jewish people. After him, all the kings they're all vassals. We're a vassal state to some empire or another. First it's Ashur, and then it's Mitzrayim, and then it's Babel. And the Jewish kings, they're officially descendants of David HaMelech, all descendants of Yoshiyahu, but they're all just puppets of some emperor or another. We're no longer really free and sovereign. Second to last king to be installed was Yechaniah. His name had been changed to Yechaniah by Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar thought that he would be loyal. And then after a while, Nebuchadnezzar realized Yechaniah is not so loyal, so he comes in and takes him out and sends him into Galus together with a lot of the Jewish aristocracy, the Cherish and the Masker. Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, Mordechai, and so on and so forth. Yechezkel, they're all sent into Galus around a decade before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, with that Galus Yechaniah. Then, around a decade later, Nebuchadnezzar comes back, and after, I believe it was 2.5 years of siege, ultimately just comes in, the last king, when he deposed Yechaniah, he had put in Tzidkiyah HaMel, the last king. Gol Tzidkiyahu is destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. So, a half a year later is when word reaches Golos Yechaniah, the Jews are already settled in Babel, that's when they hear, the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed. They knew it was a possibility, they didn't know what it was going to be, they finally heard the terrible news, done. The Beis HaMikdash is gone. So it's the before and the after. Azma. That you fast for. I understand. Tisha B'Av. Shivas B'Tamuz. Son Gedalia even. But we're fasting because that's when things started. They're fasting because that's what they heard about afterwards. That's so significant. Question for you. Where else in the Tanakh is there a reference to the month of Tevis? Chodesh Asiri, who Chodesh, is there actually named Teves? Where? Esther, yeah? What happens? This is a real, this has got to be a real Bakor for this one. What happens in Chodesh Teves? In the cold month of Teves, something happens in the Megillah. I don't think so. But you're onto something, Earlier. Much earlier in the story, yeah. Esther's brought to Achashverosh. As we say, Esther's brought to Achashverosh. Also in Teves. What was that? What type of event was that? Yeah? Oh. So Zev says, look, this is mamash, like even deeper into Golos. There's a very important comment to Gemara, as you've all learned. Who here has learned Maseches Megillah? Come out, everybody. Okay. Remember what you can start to think. What does the Gemara say about the taking of Esther? There's a very, in those last seven or so blot of the first paragraph, that Medrash Esther. The Gemara has an important comment about the taking of Esther to Achashverosh. A number of important comments. The Gemara says, this is an example of a principle of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. That A comes before B. Fantastic. Nathan said, Refu kodel maka. Hiktim HaKadosh Baruch Hu refu maka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts secure in place before the crisis even develops. An example of that is Esther. That long before the rise of Haman and the almost destruction of Jewish people, years before, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already has Esther in place, waiting for the moment that she's going to be able to act and make impact. But think about it from a reason. Like, we think about this story, we talk about the Esther story, the Megillah story in our head, sort of locked in. Let's just think for a moment. As maturing adults, Rachamon Litzlan, for that to happen in a Jewish community, don't think about it from the perspective of Megillah. Imagine you're a neighbor. You live on Mordechai and Esther's block. Imagine that for a moment. And there's talk about Achashverosh is clearly, he's an unstable fellow, mercurial, you never know what to expect. And then they're collecting women, so vile, in the most vile way possible. And obviously people are worried that their daughters may be snagged, particularly families who have attractive looking girls. They're scared they may be snagged. And then Rachman Aslan, a woman is taka taken. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what it felt like in a, on that block, in that community? Can you imagine? Like a girl in the community was taken to Beis HaChashverosh. She's going to live a debased life. She's going to be a carnal slave to Achashverosh for the rest of her life. She's disappeared into the harem. Can you imagine for a moment what that was like? Like the avelus in the community. It was horrible. How even Menachem Mordechai? Can you imagine? And it was strange also. It was terribly sad. It was also bizarre. Because Chazal tells us that Esther had incredible qualities. One of the Nevios. But physical attractiveness was not, according to many traditions in Chazal, physical beauty was not one of Esther's strengths. All Achashverosh was not looking for a balas midos. Achashverosh was not looking for an elevated person. The fact that Achashverosh took Esther and that Achashverosh chose Esther to be the queen was bizarre. It was sad, it was tragic, and it was bizarre. In retrospect, it was the best thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have done for Klal Yisrael. Because as Natan said, in retrospect, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was hiktim refuah lemaka. Esther was chosen not because of her looks, or whatever Achashverosh was thinking, but the real reason why she was chosen is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted her to be in place to save Klal Yisrael, and save Klal Yisrael she certainly did, in the most dramatic of ways. But at the time, it looked horrible. It looked bizarre, and it was incredibly painful and tragic. But in the long run, it began a process of geula. And that happened in the month of Tevis. And that's what's going on in Sarah B'Tevis as well. What I would suggest, and Rabbi Shulman touched on along these lines this morning, Asar B'Tevis is the before and the after, not the Churban itself, but Hagufa. Asar B'Tevis is the Avoida V'Yidna Asar B'Tevis, I would suggest. If it was we saw on Tom Gedalia, the Rambam writes in Perek Hei V'Hilchos Tanios, the Perek Aleph V'Hilchos Tanios, the Perek Hei V'Hilchos Tanios, that the Avoda of a Jew on a Tainus is not just a fast. The Avoda of a Jew on a Tainus is to recognize Ashkacha Pratis, to recognize Schar V'Yonesh, and to ask myself, how can I be a better person to help move things forward? To make Cheshma Nefesh, and to do tshuva. About what? So in Tzom Gedalia, we discussed some Tzom Gedalia themed areas to focus on. Asar B'Tevis, maybe, is a focus on process. A process in two senses. In other words, to recognize that little things end up having big consequences, and also to recognize the aftermath of things. In other words, there's Asar B'Tevis from 2.5 years, I believe it was, before the Churban Bayis Rishon, and there's Asar B'Tevis a half year after the Bayis Rishon. At the time of the laying the siege, as Rabbi Shulman described this morning, you know, it was scary, but nothing had happened yet. Nothing would happen for a couple of years. And Yirmiyahu tried to get them to the tshuva, and they tossed him into jail. While he's in jail, those who learned Maseches Bava Basra will remember, a pasuk in Cheskes Habatim, and a pasuk also in Get Pashut. While he's in jail, what's Yirmiyahu busy with? Her cousin named Hananel comes to him. What does Hananel offer him? Who remembers from Bava Basra or from learning Sefer Yirmiyahu? The Haftarah Parshas Bahar. Hananel is his cousin. Hananel comes and wants to do what? Wants to get a nevuah. Your cousin is going to come to sell you a field. Sell you a field? Why on earth would anyone want to buy real estate in Eretz Yisrael? Pennies on the dollar. Well, why would you buy real estate if you're going to lose it when the Bavlim overrun the country and kick us all out? And Yirmiyahu, of all people, he's always been preaching. They didn't want to listen to him. But he's been preaching. We better, you know, Nebuchadnezzar is coming. We don't have a lot of options left. He's going to buy a field? And you remember, V'chasov b'sefer v'chasom, put into a clay jar. If you go to a shrine of the book, you can see what the clay jars look like. They were still using them a couple centuries later. It ended by a Sheni period. For the Qumran scrolls. Put in a clay jar, it lasts for a long time. Why are you putting a document of sale in a clay jar to last for a long time? Because in 70 years from now, my great-grandchildren are going to prove that I bought this field and they have the rights to it. Process. We could have done tshuva then. Not doing tshuva, little things like laying the siege led to much greater churban. And positive process. We're here now, but we're going to come back and things are going to be different than they are now. So to think about the fact that little bad choice, Rahman Salam, can lead to much larger bad situations, and Mida Tovim Ruv Mida Pranios, little good choices can lead to very great positive impacts. And there's the other thing also. Not only valuing process in the sense of realizing little things can lead to bigger things, but also, maybe even more practically, to think about the impact of actions, the inobvious impact of actions. If I ask you, what was the Churban?
It said Mishra was destroyed. Jews had a solar massacre. And that's all true. And that's what we focus on Tisha B'Av. But on Tzar B'Tavis, we say there wasn't only a Tzar for the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. There were Jews in Babel who were physically saved. Golas Yechonya, they had arrived around a decade earlier. Physically, they were fine. They weren't in danger, but they also suffered. Asar B'Tavis is when the Jews in Babel started suffering from the Churban. Asar B'Tavis marks the beginning of little things that can lead to bigger things, for worse or hopefully for better. It also marks recognizing the non-obvious impacts of what we do. I make a decision, so I have to learn to think beyond the obvious. Don't just think about, I'm doing this and here's what's going to do for me, here's what's going to happen right now. Think about what the ripple effects are, because that's the two halves of process, realizing the little causes that lead to big effects and realizing the indirect effects that my actions can cause. And that's exactly what we spoke on the Slichas, and that's exactly what the Ramban says is the story of Yosef and the brothers. His focus, specifically myself and Simla Bonin, was the brother did this, which led to that. And Yaakov thought this, but things ultimately played out differently than we thought. And to recognize, to look at things with the... to play the long game. To play the long game and to grow into being... doing a better job of playing the long game. To grow into recognizing the little bad decisions can have much larger impact down the road, and to be able to be misgaber over those little bad decisions. To recognize the little good decisions can have incredible impact, positive impact down the road, and to be mitchazek in the little mitzvahs that sometimes Adam Dashrem Bakeva. And no one knows and no one cares. Does it really matter? Absolutely, your mitzvahs matter much more than you think they do. And to think about other people, to think about the impacts on other people, that's all of that is in the story of Yosef and the story of Yosef writ large. All that is in the way that Chanukah unraveled, and in the way that Asar B'Teves trains us to look. And as he says, we hope that our tshuva will talk, enable us to see the wheels of Geula turn ever, ever, ever quicker. Mitzvah Hashem.